Virginia is the latest battleground in the current debate over religious homeschooling and the educational rights of parents and children. In the last 40 years, the homeschool option has become very popular with many families. It is currently estimated that there are over 2 million homeschoolers in America. But homeschoolers aren't allowed to do whatever they wish. States manage their homeschooling communities in varying ways in order to fulfill the educational requirements. Some states use yearly reporting and tests in order to record how a student is doing. Others require parents to be certified teachers or to use state-certified curriculum. However, Virginia's homeschooling parents do not need to report a student's progress to authorities. If a parent desires more freedom in how they educate their students, they can teach under the Religious Exemption Clause, which allows for students to be excused from public school if it is done because of bona fide religious beliefs. The parent just needs to submit a letter of intent to the school board to be considered. Once the letter is approved, the parents are free to teach as they wish. This method frees thousands of Virginia parents to teach their children according to their religious convictions. It also helps establish what Homeschool Legal Defense Association Senior Counsel Scott Woodruff defines as a wall of separation between public and religious education.
This wall of separation, on the one hand, protects government-sponsored schools from having religion come in and influence them or control them, and the wall also protects religious education from the government coming in and issuing mandates.
Also known as HSLDA, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association and its clients are convinced that the religious exemption statute allows for the most effective religious education. But is that necessarily true? This is the question a recent bill sought to address in the Virginia House of Delegates. Delegates Tom Rust and Vivian E. Watts sponsored the bill in hopes of finding more information on those who are studying under the religious exemption statute.
The bill proposed that Virginia's education department study how individual school districts evaluate applications for the religious exemption statute and confirm whether the districts are checking in with parents and reviewing their case.
Once this information is gathered, it would be analyzed by the Department of Education and suggestions would be made so that compulsory education is maintained at the highest quality while also respecting the religious reasons for the exemption. Advocates of the bill insisted that this was a simple and straightforward project,
but the response to it has been anything but.
The bill was rejected by a House subcommittee on January 30th. But what were the controversies surrounding the bill?
Why couldn't a simple bill asking for a study get passed?
HSLDA raises two particular issues with this bill. First, that the questions asked are insufficient and do not require an answer. Second, that the study may damage the rights of homeschooling parents.
Scott Woodruff believes that these questions in the study are unnecessary considering that they've already been answered and that finding answers via a study would thus be illegitimate.
Others think that these questions should be answered. Heather Donnie is a homeschool graduate and the executive director of the Coalition for Responsible Home Education.
She says that this study should still be done, especially considering the fact that no data has been gathered about those educated under the religious statute.
Saying that we already have these answers isn't true. There's a lot of unknowns in this bill, and frankly, we haven't really followed up with these homeschool students that have graduated under the religious exemption. So we don't know, how they fare in adulthood. There's a lot we don't know.
But what about these claims that the study will negatively affect the rights of homeschooling parents?
Delegate Rust stated that he has no intentions of affecting the religious rights of homeschoolers through this bill.
It is in no way an effort to overturn the religious exemption. That's something that is constitutionally guaranteed, but I do think we have a responsibility to see that these young people are getting an adequate education to prepare them for adulthood.
However, Scott Woodruff doesn't believe Rust's claim.
Great. Well, if you believe that, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you. If he said he does not intend to try to restrict the religious exemption, I find that claim absolutely unbelievable.
Woodruff strongly believes that this bill would have a huge effect on parental rights in general, and that this case will end up shifting the legal parameters of homeschooling towards limiting parental rights and strengthening children's rights. Heather Donnie and her compatriots are on the opposite side of the spectrum.
She says that they are fighting for kids who have no voice.
But one of the issues with the HSLDA's take on it is they believe children under the age of 14 shouldn't have their own personal religious beliefs taken into account, and they believe that children over the age of 14 should just have them written and not be interviewed by the officials that are granting the religious exemption. I think that when you look at the religious freedom of the child, that that's problematic.
Donnie is also part of Homeschool's Invisible Children, which has recorded almost 70 cases of homeschool student deaths caused by abuse. This number has made Heather Donnie ask, are there more? She says that there is currently no way to track these students and to make sure that they are safe. But what determines what is abuse? Stephanie Smith from the National Child Protection Training Center offers a definition.
Abuse is any maltreatment of a child that would have emotional, psychological, or physical impact on that child.
Donnie's group believes that studies like this could help to encourage regulations which would protect children from abuse and allow for their individual rights to be recognized. And therein lies a huge divide between the parties. HSLDA has a long history of defending parental rights, which they define as the liberty of parents to direct the upbringing, education, and care of their children. Donnie's group has stated that the homeschooling laws are seriously lacking in protection for the rights of children and youth. They contend regulations which allow for the students' individual education and religious rights to be protected are necessary for shielding students from abuse and neglect. Much of this conversation all began with the case of Josh Powell. Delegate Rust said that Powell's story inspired him to sponsor this legislation. Powell would describe his early childhood as pretty good. He could read chapter books at a very early age and was considered quite bright and curious. But it wasn't a perfect experience. As Powell's parents had more kids, the educational standards in the home began to weaken. After a few years, Powell chose to change everything up and to attempt to attend public school.
I just felt like I wasn't learning, so I tried to reach out to the school board, ask them to enroll me in school. They basically said, no, there's nothing we can do, you're under religious exemption, listen to your parents.
After finishing high school at home, Powell still had no SAT scores or even an official record of what he did in school. Based on his experience, Powell is convinced that regulations would have greatly improved his experience in general.
Not having sort of any standardized indication of where I was educationally or intellectually just sort of was very confusing to me. I didn't have any sort of academic transcript for my high school years.
While Powell is doing fairly well in college, his main worry right now is for the well-being of his siblings.
My younger brother, who's 7, can't read. Just thinking about all of the frustrating hours that he might have to spend to catch up and be able to be productive in his future really makes me want to see things change.
It's unknown how common stories like Powell's actually are. The recent legislation wanted to answer this question, but the debate over this bill clearly shows that parents, legislators, and students are all divided over one pivotal question. Who comes first legally, the parent or the child? I'm Chris Hutton, reporting for Radio America.